Well, every Wednesday, a Coast to Coast listener sounds off. And all you have to do is send what you want to sound off about to What You Think Editorial at AOL.com. And then producer Tom will sift through it all and call you back. Make sure you mention your name and phone number. And then we'll record it. And then we'll play it back on a Wednesday. And we already started that last week. So we're up and running. We'll be back with more Your Phone Calls with Dr. Amit Goswami next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Dr. Amit Goswami. Doctor, do we have free choice here, free will in this whole situation?
Absolutely. Without free will, we would not be privileged to have this non-local consciousness, access to non-local consciousness, because non-local consciousness has this downward causation, the choice, free choice from quantum possibility to make actualities of the manifest world. We are privileged to have the same free will. But of course, the trick is that in our ordinary ego, we become so conditioned that we don't access that non-local consciousness. We become identified more and more with a very local, very personal, very individual consciousness. This individual consciousness is not a bad thing. It's a good thing because creativity requires both. Individual consciousness, where all the expertise that we develop during our life, all the learnings that we do in schools, colleges, in the hard knocks of life itself, that comes very handy in creativity, because creativity is more than just getting an idea. You have to manifest the idea, represent the idea with a product. That requires the ego, that requires the individuality. But at the same time, the individual self, the ego self, cannot access quantum consciousness where freedom lies. So what we have to do is to jump from this ego into the quantum consciousness. And we do that routinely in moments of intuition, and we do that with the protective process that we call the creative process. Mm-hmm. In this process, which the basis is to alternately do, focused doing, and being, just relaxing. This alternative process of do, be, that gives you the creative insight, which is a quantum leap to the quantum consciousness, where we freely choose the creative insight from all the possibilities that have gathered in the unconscious during the episodes of relaxation, episodes of being.
Well, Doctor, where does telepathy fit in intuition?
Well, intuition is the way that we connect to this quantum self, the very immediate, we can call it Son of God using biblical language, we can call it Holy Spirit, this immediate self that is not conditioned, like the individuality has not come yet, because this is before our memories. So when you intuit, we intuit from this quantum self. It's a higher self, higher than the ego. So where does telepathy come in? Now, telepaths or psychic people have a little more access to this being, this level of being, the quantum self, little more access to that level of being, which is non-local consciousness. So they have access to this non-locality much more freely than ordinary people. Now, ordinary people too sometimes partake in telepathy. I have, for example, I don't consider myself a psychic, but I have a few telepathic kind of experience. Mm-hmm. And everybody has. One very common experience is you are thinking of someone and all of a sudden that someone calls you.
There they are. That's right.
There they are. So then that's a telepathic kind of experience, non-local experience. So people have that occasionally. What happens is, just like intuition, all of a sudden we become open to that non-local consciousness in a natural way. We don't have to do anything. But the good news is that we can also precipitate this non-local consciousness by partaking in the creative process, because every event of creativity is also an experience of non-locality, non-local consciousness.
All right, let's go back to some final calls. Jesse in Paducah, Kentucky, east of the Rockies. Jesse, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to know if the doctor could explain more about the I'm not sure if it's a law or principle, but about the entropy.
Well, you really want to know what entropy? Entropy is a very interesting principle. Entropy law says that order is not forever. Order goes into disorder. In other words...
Or chaos? Is that one of the
yes,
same?
Chaos. More chaos occurs in a natural way. This is a physical law. But the interesting thing is, from a scientific point of view, is that this physical law, that disorder always increases in the world, cannot be proven from Newton's laws, from Newtonian physics. Even with quantum physics, entropy law does not follow. But if you follow up quantum physics with consciousness, if you interpret quantum physics the correct way, namely with the primacy of consciousness, as I have done and others have done, the new paradigm, then you can get a foundation for the entropy law. So, this question is a very interesting question.
We've got more calls coming in. Let's go to Beaverton, Oregon. Patrick's with us on Coast to Coast. Go ahead,
Patrick. I have a question for Dr. Goswami about other interpretations of quantum theory. First, a shout out to my friend Tracy. Love will turn back the hands of time. But what about interpretations along the lines of non-local realism, like David Bohm's theory? If David Bohm were with us today, and you could dialogue with him, what would you say?
Well, I have very high respect for David Bohm. I would say that with all due respect, why did you hesitate to accept consciousness? But of course, you have to understand the consciousness solutions of quantum physics came after David Bohm passed away, or he was very close to passing away. I don't remember which year exactly he passed away, but it was very, very close. So he probably never saw the proper consciousness interpretation of quantum physics. He struggled with consciousness, finding a place for consciousness in physics all his life. He's a great scientist. He went very far. He made non-locality an accepted thing in physics with his interpretation. His interpretation changes quantum mathematics a little bit. It's not a very... Quantum mathematics is a very beautiful equation, very beautiful equation. That beauty goes away in Bohm's version of quantum physics. It's a little bit changed, and it becomes a little clumsy. That's one reason that most people don't believe in Bohm's version, although it's an approximate version. I have shown mathematically that Bohm's version is actually an approximate version of quantum physics, and it is a legitimate version, and it can be shown to prove non-locality as an aspect of reality and negate Newtonian physics. So Bohm's work is very, very important, but it's an approximation. And the other thing I need to say to you is that when you have an opportunity to bring consciousness into physics and explain consciousness, its place in the world through quantum physics, this is a grand opportunity for all science to gain. In the previous times, when we were not so materialistic, when we were open about science, people would jump at it. You know, science always has proceeded taking opportunities. If we have an opportunity to extend science in a new domain, we take it. We take it because it's an opportunity. If we were seeing something that we didn't see before, quantum physics interpreted with the primacy of consciousness is an opportunity that we didn't see before. And now that we see it, what is the reason for rejecting it? It's an exact formulation. It's a foolproof formulation of quantum physics. If you interpret quantum physics this way, there is absolutely no paradox anymore. All paradoxes are solved. This is a tremendous event. Why should we refuse it and take approximations like Bohm? That is the question I ask you.
Can anything go wrong at all with this in terms of, you know, physics? Can there be a problem with this? Okay.
There is absolutely no problem that can arise. In fact, problems are solved in this approach. What my surprising finding is, George, is that I found that time after time, I have applied these principles to all branches of science, biology, psychology, medicine, even economics now. I'm doing it right now. And everywhere I find that it always gives you insights that you did not have before. For example, in economics, it's showing a surprising thing that if we bring consciousness into the equation of economics and the subtle bodies like thinking, feeling, and intuition, then we can solve this boom and bust problem. We can develop an economics where this kind of current recession would never occur again. This scale of recession would never occur again. We can have a steady state, sustainable economics. Wouldn't that be lovely?
It sure would.
You know, this is where I am. And actually, I have made a video now. My associate, Reese Stewart and Brennan Slade, have made a video of my lectures on basic quantum physics, how consciousness is essential, how it simplifies rather than makes it more complex, the understanding of quantum physics. This is the latest teaching device that we are using for quantum activists. Look at my website and look for this newest video of basic quantum physics.
Okay, let's go next to Honolulu, Hawaii, west of the Rockies. Alexi, hi there.
Hi, Dr. Goswami. Thank you for this wonderful and amazing topic. I'm a very big fan of your work, and especially the book, The Quantum Doctor. And I participated to many of your courses on quantum physics and medicine at the Quantum University. So I wanted to ask you some questions more about medicine. So I wanted to know if you could talk more about what are the gifts of quantum physics to medicine, and what is your definition of quantum medicine? Thank you.
This is a very, very good question. Quantum medicine becomes very quantum when you talk about those cases of spontaneous healing that Deepak Chopra called quantum healing. Chopra intuited the same kind of concept as I have proven from quantum physics, namely that at some level we have the choice, choose between health and disease, choose between life and death, and we can use it for coming out of incurable, according to current medicine anyway, cases of cancer, for example. So that's quantum healing is a specific case of a quantum process, creative process being used for healing. That's only part of quantum medicine, however. Quantum physics does another thing. Quantum physics legitimizes what we call subtle bodies. Feeling, thinking, intuition, these things exist as possibilities in consciousness, in possible worlds that we call the vital world, mental world. For intuition, it's called the supramental world. And quantum consciousness chooses not only out of the possibilities of the material world to make material objects, it also chooses out of these subtle worlds to make subtle objects. So if you think this way, then we have a body in each of these worlds. We have a physical body that we sense. We also have a vital body that we feel. Those are the energies that we feel at the so-called chakra points. And then we have a mental body with which we think, with which we give meaning to the world. And then we have an intuitive body, archetypal body, supramental body with which we intuit. If you think this way, then you immediately realize that disease can occur not only at the physical sensory body, but also at all these subtle bodies. So you have subtle body medicine. So acupuncture now becomes vital body medicine. Homeopathy becomes vital body medicine. In this way, quantum physics gives a solid scientific basis of these alternative medicine techniques, which did not have a scientific basis until now. So that is the other gift of quantum physics. And we realize that there are all these bodies, and we have to keep all of them healthy in order to be really healthy. So it changes our attitude towards health. It does much more, of course. For example, it tells us that healing often consists of the vital body healing rather than the physical body healing. Physical body healing has to be recognized as very costly. And this is what is, of course, giving rise to this huge cost of medicine. If we recognize that sometimes, before jumping into conclusion that we need to heal the physical and therefore get costly procedures, we should recognize that the disease might have started at the level of the mind or the level of the vital, in which case some of these very cheap procedures of vital body medicine and mind-body medicine can be used to heal people.
Don't you wish you could just wave a magic wand over all this and you'd get all the answers instantly?
It is a little bit like that, George. I mean, these things that conventional scientists would ignore because they would say magic wand, like they have invented the word placebo effect, you know, the effect of mental belief on disease. And it's now turning out that even pharmaceutical drugs, their healing is mostly 70% due to this placebo effect. So mind has great effect on healing. We already know that from repeated experiments, both by alternative physicians and by allopathic physicians. So there is no question that it is a bit like magic wand, except that you have to use the magic with quantum intention. Intentions are very crucial to invoke the non-local consciousness and its causal power. If we know how to intend our healing, we can heal ourselves.
Mm-hmm. True. Let's go to Joel in New York. Hey, Joel, thanks for holding so long.
Oh, well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you, Dr. Goswami and George.
Yeah.
A fantastic conversation tonight. Really enjoying it a lot.
Thank you.
I wanted to search on things on a possible level of what that means and how it actuates into our lives on a practical level. But before I say that, I just want to acknowledge that I think that Dr. Goswami might have a career in singing.
Singing? Do you sing?
No, the thing is that I think he could get Frank Sinatra run for his money on Strangers in the Night. And he said, doopy doopy doo.
Oh, okay. Now I got you.
Boom. Okay.
All right.
Right over my
okay.
Boom.
All right. So anyway, here's my scoop on this and my two cents or how I want to see how it all fits in and your response, Dr. Goswami. I see all this as very exciting, and it makes a lot of sense on a practical level to me, which is why I have such a difficult deal with most religion, because it's really pie-in-the-sky stuff. And I see it as the access to what's possible in the furthest reaches of what we want in our lives, our dreams, not on the sense of in the sleep state, but in dreams of what we'd like to achieve on a highest level. And to me, possibility is something that requires me to go outside of the normal groove of my automatic way of being or reactionary state and then stretch beyond my comfort zone to achieve it in some way. But you had mentioned something about downward causation and how that actuates possibility. And I see it kind of like as lining up with higher self or purpose or something like that. And the way I see it on a regular basis is just recognizing this connection that we all share in life and with the universe and everything, which sounds kind of generic. But what I'm interested in from you is first off, do you align with what I'm saying here? And secondly, how do you see any specific practices that we can take into our lives to forward these actions?
All right, let's get the response back from you, Doctor, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. On our live Labor Day night program, we've got a split show for you. Clint Werner joins us and Jerome Corsi. Jerry about an oil conspiracy. Clint about the marijuana gateway to health. Should be a fascinating program. Plus, we'll always take your calls here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Were you able to piece together an answer for Joel in New York, Doctor?
Yeah. Remind me, what was he talking about?
He was talking about all downward
causation.
What is that?
Is there any practice? Is there any practice towards it? Yes, I call it intention practice. It's basically a practice of what you intend. You intend from the ego, and that's where you start. And then you dedicate the intention towards greater good. That's the second stage. At the third stage, you bring it in line with the whole non-local consciousness, the will of the non-local consciousness. In religious terms, the will of God or God's will. So you make the intention that let my intention resonate with the intention of non-local consciousness. And in the last stage, the fourth stage, you let the prayer. The third stage is the prayer. Let the prayer become a meditation. It just becomes silent. So if this practice, what is involved then is the same practice as you have in the creative process, do and be. So it starts with doing and ends with being. Meditation is pure being. You're not doing anything, relaxing. So recognize that basic process of creativity is very much like an intention setting also. So this intention setting and the creative process are the basic process by which we bring the power of downward causation in our life. If you look carefully, all spiritual traditions empirically have discovered this, because all traditions more or less not only prefer doing for their parishioners, but also being. Even Christianity is not all about prayer. It also has meditation. There is a 12th century mystic who wrote a book called The Cloud of Unknowing. If you can find it in any Christian bookstore, it's a great book on meditation, no less. So now people have discovered these quantum processes empirically eons ago, and now we are finding the scientific basis for it.
All right, that's a good point. And you mentioned something, too, about prayer. How strong is prayer?
Prayer is very strong, very strong. It's the way to keep creativity depends a lot on the unconscious processing. In the unconscious, there will be many, many possibilities that clutter up the unconscious based on our memories. What prayer does is to keep us focused. It clears the unconscious of other preoccupations, unnecessary preoccupations that takes us away from the creative question, from the spiritual question, from the question of knowledge about who I am. One has to stay focused. Prayer helps us becoming focused. And meditation is the counterpart. Meditation lets us be completely relaxed so that unconscious processing can take place. So it's like the prayer is like stoking the fire, and the unconscious processing is like fire going on without any attempt of anything of doing on our part.
Let's go to Garrett in Chico, California, first-time caller. Hey, Garrett, you got in. Go ahead.
Hey, great. Thank you very much.
Sure thing.
And, I love your work, Dr. Goswami. I'm a fan of yours on the Quantum Activist page. And, I'm just obsessed with the structure of space for whatever reason. But a few topics that I've noticed in the news lately are a paper by Robert Nirmoff, I believe, from the Michigan Technical University, who analyzed some gamma ray particles that came into a NASA Fermi gamma ray scope. And apparently it points to the universe not being pixelated, but rather being smooth. And this is a big kind of debate and something that, you know, they just found out in the last couple of days here. So I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit, if you knew about that or could kind of make some sense of that. And then also maybe some other topics related to that structure of the universe, like the Big Bang being kind of like a change of state from water to ice, how it just changes states rapidly. Like there's some evidence pointing towards, there's some tests that we can do to see if there's fractures in the structure of the universe that they can see that can point to that. Maybe Higgs boson info and
I will generally I don't answer such questions because this is how my own life started, to recognize that these questions only take us away from the questions that we really need to address. What is my life about? These questions are in a way red herrings, because why do you need to know the structure of the universe so far away from your what is important for your life?
Right.
So this is, if you look at the questions that are pending, meaning questions, what is the meaning of my life? The questions of consciousness, what do I do to have access to that non-locality that will give me creativity, that will give me, make my life satisfied, exciting. These are the questions you should spend more time on. But having said that, let me tell you about Higgs boson. I just heard a joke. This is good. So Higgs boson shows up in a Catholic church, and the priest says, "What are you doing here?" And the Higgs boson says, "Without me, there is no mass."
I like that.
Me too.
Not bad. Not bad. I'll tell you my Einstein joke one day when we get together and meet. Let's go to Canyon City, Colorado. Arlene's with us. Hey, Arlene, go ahead.
I want to thank you and Tommy for taking my call.
You are very welcome.
And I would like to do this call just a little bit differently because I think you would cut me off before I got a chance to say this. I have been listening to you for 10 years, met you on television, actually, when your program, you know, when you first took over. And I am just really, really amazed at what you guys have accomplished down there between the telephone calls of then and your setup now. You guys are fantastic, and I thank you so very, 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 very much for being.
Well, you have
certainly changed a lot of lives, especially bringing people in like Dr. Is it Swami?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Doctor, for being here.
Thank you.
Now, I have really sort of just a statement of my belief here. My understanding is that the West,
you there?
All of a sudden, this whole
you lost it.
My understanding is that the West, in its scientific and religious beliefs, has separated itself from that which we call God. I would suggest that we need to give God a new name, say, like all that is. And the third part of this is that George Hughes, the good doctor, Swami, me, and everything that is all that is.
All that is what we call quantum non-locality. And that is good. That is a good description of God. I prefer the phrase quantum consciousness, non-local consciousness, this kind of phrase better, because this kind of phrase makes God into an objective thing. And the objectivity of God is very important. You know, there is the saying, cosmic love is ruthless. Why is God ruthless? Because God is objective. Sometimes what we do not see is that things that seem to be good to us may not be so good in the long run. And so sometimes bad things happen to good people because of that. And to see that, we have to see that God is objective. Why does God choose bad things sometimes? Because bad things may help the evolution of consciousness. Evolution is the reason that bad things happen to good people or bad things happen in general in the world. Because it may, although we don't see it in the short run, it may eventually help to bring creativity in evolution. Creativity requires chaos, catastrophe sometimes. So if you have this kind of wisdom, it's very, very helpful to understand how God works in the world. Simplistic way of understanding God is disastrous, because then you are always stuck with this question, why does a good God make bad things happen, you know, and you discover devil and all that stuff. That's not very helpful. So if you want to get a healthy concept of God, then the quantum concepts of God is all that is, you know, this way of thinking of God is good, better.
All knowing. Hey, Tom, producer Tom wants me to tell you a Dalai Lama joke now.
Wonderful.
Maybe you can use it for some of your events wherever you go.
Sure.
It's a short one. You ready?
Yes.
The Dalai Lama walks into a pizza shop and says, make me one with everything.
Great.
That's why Tom doesn't give jokes when we do events. Anyways, we'll go to Parsippany, New Jersey. Sandy's with us. Hi, Sandy. Welcome to the program. You are on Coast to Coast.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
Okay, I have a question. I actually have like one and two.
Is this a joke too?
The doctor keeps referring to quantum physics.
Uh-huh.
What exactly for the common person does like quantum physics mean? I feel like it's so broad, I just need a more detailed answer.
Okay, that gets back to my first original question, Doctor, when we talked about quantum physics and you were outlining it for us to understand, but I'll let you do it again if you want to.
Actually, I'll do it, and I will again refer to this video that my associates have made. Go to our website and look for the basic quantum video, and that will explain things much better than I can, because time on this show, as you know, we are closing towards the end. But I will be very brief and tell you the essential, some of the essential aspects of quantum physics. Quantum physics says that objects are possibilities for consciousness to choose from. This is very, very important message of quantum physics, because, look, objects are not very concrete as we think. Objects are actually possibilities. So that shows you that objects really can be thought of as part of something that we also think as quite woolly, not so concrete, like consciousness. As George was saying earlier, you cannot hold consciousness in your hand, but you cannot hold possibilities in your hand either. So consciousness and possibilities, this is the form of eternal reality that spiritual traditions talk about. How do we make the concrete reality? Concrete reality comes from choice of consciousness, that choice from the possibilities, that interaction of consciousness with matter. That's what gives us the various properties of matter, like hardness and rigidity and solidity and all that stuff. So thinking this way is possible, made possible by quantum physics. Quantum physics also has a couple of wonderful concepts, such as non-locality. All communications don't need signals. This idea of signal-less communication, that uncommon experience is telepathy, this signal-less communication makes a new science. A new science of experience now becomes possible, because previously we have always disregarded things that we cannot explain, non-material things, because how does non-matter interact with matter? This is called the question of dualism.
How much is physics just common sense, plain common sense?
Well, this part of physics is sounding more like common sense, doesn't it? Because the physics has become very sophisticated right now. Not much common sense in thinking about that questions of the universe, like one of our friends were asking. Those kinds of questions is not common sense anymore, very far from common sense. But physics looked upon generalizing from the basics, you know, where we have stopped with the science of matter. Why should we stop? We should go on. And science of other experiences. When we build that, we find that it's very simple. All experiences come from possibilities of consciousness. So feeling comes from a world of feeling called vital world. Meaning comes from the mental world, and supramental world gives us intuition. When you think this way, we can include all of our experiences in a new science. And that gives us such new phenomena, such new arenas for even economics and business, that the world can be rebuilt in a way that will have much of the problems that we face today solved instead of going on perpetually. This is the great news about the new science, the new work that we are discussing tonight.
Let's go to Estella in Palmdale, California. We'll get one or two more in. Go ahead, Estella.
Hi, George.
Hello.
Oh, my God, it's so wonderful to be on there. Let me tell you a little bit about how I find quantum physics and how I apply in my life and all my network and people. I create this group called Quantum Physics Equal to Spirituality, Explain Spirituality, you know, because I believe that from the point on nano world and atoms and attraction and synchronicity. And from my little story of magic in my life, everything made sense, okay?
Good.
And it's so easy, changing my daughter's life, changing in my world, you know? And I see in some point that the people stop me because I'm a singer, and people just stop me and say, Stella, it's great that you're doing this wonderful thing now, because oh, my God, it helped so many people.
See, it changes people. Only a few minutes to go, Doctor.
Okay.
It does change people, doesn't it?
It does change people, because if you for example, you were a singer, the scientific materialist worldview has literally undermined professions like singing, because singing has no reason other than entertainment in that worldview. But we all know that singing can take us to very wonderful states of consciousness, very creative states of consciousness, where we touch this non-locality, where we become one with the universe. And this is the main attraction of why people sing. You raise the vital energy to your higher chakras. That's another way of looking at it. The heart expands literally. And these things are very important. The science, the way we do it, the majority of scientists do it, they negate these things, people's experience. The new science is recapturing it, and new science is also saying that, look, do what you are doing in the humanities and in singing, dancing, and all this stuff is most important for the human being. It opens you up to new experiences, new dimensions. Not that the material is not important, of course it is, but these other dimensions is what we live for. They give us satisfaction, they give us creativity, they give us non-local consciousness, access to it.
Do you see science and spirituality mending themselves together?
Absolutely. Science and spirituality are mending themselves together because they now have become integrated into one and the same thing. Science is not separate from spirituality, nor is spirituality separate from science. Spirituality can be studied within science, just as science must be studied within the spiritual consciousness.
All right, my friend. Good job, Dr. Amit Goswami. The name of the book, God is Not Dead, and he actually makes physics fun again. So that's something you should always consider. For Nathan Staten, Tom Danheiser, Dan Galante, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.